Prater is our Browns beat reporter, and he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Browns getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers tomorrow night, right there in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, D. How are you, buddy?
Daryl.
Hello, boys.
So, riddle me this one. We have a guy at Bleacher Report predicting 2-15 for the Browns. We have Eric Edholm of NFL.com with the Browns at number 32 in his current preseason power rankings. It's not going to be that bad, is it?
It depends what they get from the quarterbacks, Jeff.
Okay.
I mean, that's what this all comes down to. What can they get out of that quarterback room over 17 games? I'm not going to sit here and predict doom and gloom, but it's possible. It's also possible they could be close to a 500 team as well. I don't go into the season believing that they're a legitimate playoff contender, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that the defense will be good enough to keep them in games, and you know, can the quarterbacks do enough not only to keep them in those games, but maybe steal a game or two or three in the fourth quarter?
That's interesting. I've got a defensive question I'll ask you in a second. But when you look at the quarterback situation right now, and I heard what you were saying about the quarterbacks before, I'll give you the opportunity to say it again, that where are we with this thing? Where are we? If tomorrow wasn't Carolina and tomorrow was Cincinnati, where would we be?
Joe Flacco would be starting.
With confidence? Do we have confidence that he can help them stay, help the offense stay in the game enough to win?
Well, I have confidence that he would be starting. I can't really speak for the rest of it at this point. But I do think that based on the current condition of that quarterback room, you know, Flacco's the obvious choice right now.
I would agree with that. Can that change next week if Kenny Pickett is able to practice against Philadelphia? I would assume if Gabriel's able to go as well, we would see both Pickett and Gabriel against the Eagles in the game. Can it change next week? And if it doesn't change next week, Darrell, I agree. I don't think there's any question that it'll be Joe in week one.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like that Joe has been out in front from the moment he was signed. You know, this has been about seeing if there's something there with Kenny. Look, let's be honest about it. Outside of Joe Flacco, this entire quarterback room is a great experiment, right? Shedeur Sanders was drafted in the fifth round just for the heck of it. I don't know why they drafted Dillon Gabriel in the third round, other than I guess he can memorize and draw the playbook almost instantaneously.
Got that going for you.
Yeah. It doesn't help you actually read a defense and make throws when you're on the field, but whatever. That's what they like. So, and, you know, Joe Flacco is the guy that they know what's there. And I think that it kind of explains when you look at the reps and how they've been distributed here, not just in training camp, but even before training camp, mini camp and whatever. Like, it's all about looking at everyone else but Joe. They know what Joe is. They know what he brings to the table, what he has. So I honestly don't even feel like he's auditioning for the job. It's Kenny Pickett who's auditioning for the job. It's Dillon Gabriel who's auditioning. Same thing in some respects to Shedeur, even though I don't think that there's a snowball chance and you know what, that he'll win the starting job because he's not been put in a position to do so. And part of the reason he hasn't been put in position to do so is the organization just doesn't feel he's ready for that just yet. So, and the only reason he's starting tomorrow night in the preseason opener is, well, he's last man standing. It's either him or Tyler Huntley. And this gives you an opportunity to get a legitimate evaluation of him going against Carolina starters, right? He's going to be with the 2-3 Browns offense, but you're going to be able to get a much more honest evaluation of just where he is. If he plays well, then you say, okay, he's a little better down the line here than we thought he was. Great. If he doesn't play well, you say, well, that's kind of what we expected. You know, this is a developmental thing for him, and he's got a little ways to go, and so we just, you know, stick with our current plan. There is no need to accelerate. But I do think that if Shedeur plays well tomorrow night, he might force the Browns' hands to try and challenge him in a similar fashion in which they've been challenging Dillon Gabriel all offseason.
Daryl, in yesterday's press conference, because Jeff and I were a little dazed and confused off the front because, you know, Kevin didn't really...
Oh, no, we were not dazed and confused. We listened and heard what he said.
Yeah, Kevin didn't actually say that Shedeur was starting. everyone reported that, and it almost said, like, it almost made me think, I don't, Jeff, you can agree or disagree, that if Tyler Huntley had another week under his belt, he'd probably be starting tomorrow night.
100%.
Okay, so that was my question for you.
Still could be, yeah. Daryl?
No, I don't think he's starting tomorrow night, but I'm just saying, like, to bet, I'm just agreeing with Baskin that if, you know, if Huntley was here a week ago, it would be Tyler Huntley and not Shedeur Sanders. Look, okay.
Yeah, that was, my question was,
can we have an honest conversation here real quick about the whole Shedeur thing?
Because
I know it's a lightning ride.
Yeah.
Okay, look, first of all, the Browns had no intention of drafting the kid, okay? That's number one. Number two, they had no intention of starting him in the preseason opener either. And yet here we are. So,
and yet here we are.
Okay,
Daryl, that was well said.
So, Daryl, I mean, you're saying that they had zero intention of drafting him, but he was the best value in the fifth round.
He's sitting there in the fifth round.
Jimmy Haslam told us that a week ago. he's like, hey, you know, we go home Friday night. You told me we were going to draft Shedeur Sanders. I would have said you're out of your mind. Then we woke up Saturday morning. He's still there. We had a conversation. We're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Well.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, what's the latest on Quinshon Judkins? You got anything?
There's a filing made yesterday in Broward County Court late in the afternoon. His attorney filed a motion waiving his right to a speedy trial, which that basically means that the case could potentially get pushed into early 2026. I believe Florida law is that you have a right to a trial within 60 days of being charged or arraigned. So that means that potentially the legal process associated with this thing is not going to get resolved anytime soon. And, you know, then I think that kind of puts the ball in Andrew Berry's court. Does he want to sign him? It also puts the ball in the NFL's court, which would be a very uncomfortable situation for them. Because if they suspend him before this case is resolved, that could get used against Quinshon in a court of law, because then the prosecution say, see, even the NFL said he did something wrong here. So I don't think it provides any clarity whatsoever, and I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination here. But this, I think, at least from my standpoint, I kind of feel like this complicates things a little bit. The reason, now I know some folks will go back to the Mike Hall thing. Remember, the Mike Hall situation last year, he was arrested and charged in mid-August, early September. That got pled out to a lesser charge or whatever. And got resolved, and then the NFL came in and said, okay, we're suspending you for, I think he sat out the first week. The Browns actually played a game or two before the NFL came out with the suspension. They said, you're suspended the first five games of the season. You get credit for time already served, so you're eligible to come back week six. So I don't know specifically how this impacts the league's processes here, but I just, common sense tells me, it stands to reason that it could or would, because, again, obviously the NFL does not want to do anything that could potentially jeopardize a legal process.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. With all that in mind, tell me what you've thought so far of Dylan Sampson, and tell me what Pierre Strong has looked like, and does Pierre have a chance here? Or is Sampson going to pick up all of those carries that might have gone to Judkins while Jerome Ford is the starter?
I think it's Ford, Sampson. Strong, we've seen him getting some special teams work, so I think that there could be some opportunity there for him. Right now, as we talk, Jeff, that's my three-man running back room.
Okay.
Take that for what it's worth, subject to change based on circumstances, whatever, as we go through the rest of this thing here this month. But right now, that's my three-man running back room.
What's Dylan Sampson look like to you?
I mean, he doesn't flash to me, but nobody has flashed to me in this camp, really, outside of Jerry Jeudy. And a couple of the rookies. He looks okay. You know, again, it's really tough evaluating these guys in, controlled practice settings, because they're honestly not running free or trying to run free. Well, they are trying. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's not the same as seeing these guys in game situations.
Exactly.
So going to get a better idea tomorrow night what Sampson's going to be able to bring to the table, I think, when he goes up against that Panther defense.
Daryl, has Carson Schlesinger knocked your socks off? I know you were talking about the defense before. That's why I want to bring that off, bring that up. Because I'm looking at this whole thing. I'm like, man, they're giving the rookie the green dot. And
well, I don't know who they're higher on more as an organization, Carson Schlesinger or Dylan Gabriel. And I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm being sincere when I say that. I honestly don't know who they feel better about because they love both guys. But here's the difference, though. Carson Schlesinger, to me, actually looks the part.
That was
Dylan Gabriel. There's a lot of times where Dylan Gabriel doesn't look like he belongs on an NFL field. So that's the difference. Carson does look fantastic. You know, and for me, and this is unfair to do to him, but for me, I kind of feel like he's the JOK replacement. Like he's the kid that's going to be asked to step in and fill that role. Now, I don't know he's going to fill it as well as JOK, but they love his work behind the scenes, his football acumen. That's why they're giving him the green dot and giving him those opportunities and challenging him. Look, it's very rare for a rookie to step in and to be able to do that, yet here we are with Carson, and he's doing it. And it's not just that he's doing it, guys. He's doing it at a pretty high level. Teammates, coaches, the front office, everybody is just thrilled with what they're seeing and observing from Carson Schlesinger throughout this camp. So you're going to see a lot of him as this season goes along.
Daryl, let me go back to your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, you've not been a fan. You've been vocal about that.
Great kid, not an NFL quarterback in my view.
He has to get on the field next week, does he not, to have a chance to avoid the practice squad?
They're keeping four quarterbacks, Jeff.
Okay.
I'm convinced of it. I think that the position that gets sacrificed is the sixth wide receiver. Because this wide receiver room stinks outside of Jerry Jeudy. And Cedric Tillman is a question mark, right? So why keep a sixth wide receiver? Especially if you're going to do a lot of 12 personnel. You're going to keep three running backs. I don't know. Maybe they keep a fourth running back. We'll see. But like, you're going to be, you know, you're going to treat your running backs and your tight ends, both your tight ends, Njoku and Fannin. You're going to be treating both those guys like receivers, right? So for me, those are your number. You know, it goes Jerry Jeudy's your one receiver, Cedric Tillman's your two receiver, David Njoku's your three receiver, Fannin's your four receiver, your running backs your five and six receivers, right? And then, oh, let's go back into the wide receiver room, and there's receiver number 7, 8, 9, and 10, right?
Yeah.
That's the lens with which I'm looking at this product right now in this roster. I do believe that they're going to keep all four quarterbacks. I don't feel like that Andrew Berry's bluffing. I don't think that there's anything, you know, they're trying to, you know, trick a team into trading for one of these guys. Because I hate to say it, but they're going to need three or four guys to get through this season. So, because I love Joe Flacco, I'm not convinced that he's going to last 17 games or the organization is going to stick with him for all 17 games. Remember, Baker Mayfield, Tim Couch, only two dudes since 1999 to play a full regular season schedule. They got through 16 games, okay? So keep that part of it in mind as well. So I do believe, based on like what Jimmy Haslam has said publicly, right? Last week he said, hey, Kevin knows that we got to see the rookie quarterbacks this year. So that tells me they're starting with Joe Flacco. Maybe they go to Kenny Pickett. Then they're going to Dylan Gabriel. And I don't know, maybe they, by the end of December, Shedeur Sanders is ready, or they feel like he's ready to kind of throw him out there and take a peek at him too. But I do believe right now, again, circumstances could change, but right now I do think they keep four quarterbacks to start the season.
Based on the fact that they went in the third and fifth round, do you think they could sneak Gabriel or Sanders onto the practice squad?
No. I especially with the report that Mike Silver had earlier this week, the teams were calling the Browns on Dylan, you know, after they drafted Sanders. And look, you put Sanders on the waiver wire, he's not going to last. Somebody's going to claim him.
Same with Gabriel?
Yeah, I think so. I think Gabriel might last a little longer than Sanders would, but like I do think somebody would claim him. Yeah, so I do not believe that they will try the waiver wire to the practice squad path to keep all four quarterbacks. I think they just keep them all on the 53. And also keep in mind too, guys, Andrew Berry views this as a 69-man roster, not a 53-man roster. Keep, you know, you got your 48, right? Your game day 48. Then you got your 53, add on your practice squad, you got 69 guys. So that's how Barry looks at this thing. So let's say that's sixth receiver, right? Who, by the way, they probably will be able to cut, get through the waiver wire and onto the practice squad. That's the guy that they'll, you know, they'll still keep the guy that they wanted to keep on the 53. It's just he'll be on the practice squad and then they can elevate him if they need him. See what I'm saying? So
yeah.
that's why I believe that, you know, because the practice squad rules have changed so much in recent years and it's been expanded, it's easier now for the Browns to keep the four quarterbacks than if we were at a true 53-man roster and only a 10-man practice squad.
Daryl, I think their lack of movement in the wide receiver position backs up exactly what you said about keeping five wide receivers. I mean, if they thought it was a six-man position, I think they would have brought somebody else in, don't you?
Well, they also want to take a look at the kids they have, right? You got right now in that room, again, your depth chart is Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson. Those are your top three guys. And then you got Jamari Thrash. You've got Caden Davis. Bell is on IR. He's done. Gage Lavardin has had a great camp, uphill climb to make the team. Luke Floria, who everyone loves because he's a local kid, uphill climb to make the team. And then there's like Coda, and there's like two other guys, McDonald and someone else. I'm drawing a blank, but like none of those guys jump off the page at you, right? And I don't think if you put any of those names on the waiver wire, that you're going to be sweating whether or not they get claimed. So they want to look at what they have and see if they have something there. It wouldn't shock me, Jeff, if they start with five. Then look at the waiver wire, cut another guy to put him on the practice squad to bring in another body externally that got waived from another team. I think that is a very distinct possibility and would be a way to satisfy what you clearly are craving, and that is some outside help at the receiver position. But I do have to warn you, said receiver will not be helping the Browns win the Super Bowl this year.
All right, Darryl, we got about a minute. I just want to make sure I've got it right, because you can protect four guys on your practice squad, but you must put them through waivers first. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Just looking at that rule, because otherwise they've got to take a guy. If they take someone off the practice squad, they have to be on the active roster for the next 3 weeks.
Well, and you only get so many elevations. Like the rules have changed quite a bit when it comes to the practice squad guys and being able to store guys in that. They've expanded it to allow veteran players to be on the practice squad now. Like it used to be reserved for, you know, rookies and guys that were redshirted and have minimal experience and things like that. They've made a lot of tweaks in recent years. So Andrew Berry has become a master of roster manipulation, and I have no doubts that he's going to be doing that come that final Tuesday in August.
Daryl, thank you, buddy.
You bet, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy
Thanks,
the
man.
Preseason opener.
Yes, sir. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. We talked yesterday about expectations for Shedeur Sanders tomorrow night. And I said, I just want him to go out and not look overwhelmed. I don't care what numbers he puts up. I don't care how many touchdowns they put on the board. I don't care about anything. Just go out and look like you kind of belong at that level, even in a preseason game. And Dan and I were just talking in the break, and Dan said, you know, hey, Dan, may I say what you said?
Fire away.
Dan said, why do I have the feeling that no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm going to be annoyed come Monday? And I thought, yeah, I know. I feel the same way. Because if Shedeur plays really well, then, oh, my God, it's going to be, he should be the starting quarterback and blah, 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 blah. And if he plays poorly, then everybody who's thought that, you know, he shouldn't be, everybody's going to be joyous and, oh, see, there, he's not ready and blah, blah. It's a preseason game. He's a fifth-round pick, and I think everybody just needs to let him go out and play and see what he can do a little bit. Don't look overwhelmed. That's all I want. Don't look overwhelmed. That's it.
I said in the beginning of the week, I just don't over or underestimate who he's playing against and with. I mean, he could go out there and struggle tomorrow, but then you got to remind yourself, well, Look who he's playing with. Look who he's playing with. He could have unbelievable success. And then you have to say to yourself, well, look who he's playing against. So I agree with you. I just hope he just goes out there. He looks good. You know, if he throws a touchdown pass or throws a couple passes more than 25 yards and is able to avoid the rush on multiple plays, not every play, but multiple plays, people will be screaming for him to start week one.
Good, bad, or ugly? I just urge everybody to keep things in perspective. And this is why. If he goes out and throws, has a big game, you know, everybody will get all excited. Andy, the Browns have drafted, I believe, including these two guys, Gabriel and Sanders, 8 quarterbacks since 2012. So in the last like 12, 13 years. Last year, 2 years ago, we had a quarterback who went out as a 5th-round draft choice and in the Hall of Fame game completed 8 of 11 passes for 82 yards and a touchdown. And he looked really good in a preseason game.
In a pre-preseason game, the Hall of Fame game.
And that was Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah.
And he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. And I think we all kind of got excited and thought, yeah, this guy might, yeah, here we go. Yep. This could, well, he was 8 of 11
for 82
yards.
I heard people super excited. I don't know if you remember.
Exactly.
That there was a full house chanting his name when he got the start 15 minutes before they opened the gates against Baltimore.
Right. Well, he was a, you know, backup quarterback, perhaps. And, boy, they were excited. What if Shador goes out and passes for, like, over 180 yards and a score and completes over 60% of his passes? Do you think people would be screaming that this is the guy?
Yes. Yes.
In 2017.
He could throw for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns and people would be screaming he's the guy.
In 2017, we had a rookie quarterback go out and complete 11 of 18 passes for 184 yards and a touchdown in his first preseason game. How'd it work out with my guy, DeShone Kizer?
Well, the head coach also called him the franchise quarterback. So
and threw him out there all season.
What they did to him wasn't fair either. I still think he needed another year.
Brian Kelly said he needed another year in college.
Yeah.
So he probably definitely needed a year to sit in the NFL. But this is and this is not to downplay what Shador might be able to do or anything. Just keep preseason stats and performances in perspective. DeShone Kizer was in his first preseason game.
We can say
was a win over the Saints.
People aren't going to, though. You know that, right?
Well,
you get it. You understand that we're going to be sitting here on Monday, and if he has numbers like that, people will be like, I don't even understand why Joe Flacco is here.
Kizer was 11 of 18, 184 yards, a touchdown, and had a couple of big pass plays, 45 yards, 52 yards, that went over the Saints. And then we know he had big issues. So keep it in perspective. Baker Mayfield. Baker was the number one overall pick, first preseason game.
Yep.
Pretty good. 11 of 20, 212 yards. But Kizer had a better completion percentage. Keep it under control. Your guy, Johnny Manziel.
Stop.
First preseason game for Johnny Manziel.
If you wanted to say Baker Mayfield was my guy, I could live with that. Don't say Johnny Manziel was my guy.
Lost to the Lions, but Johnny was 7 of 11 for 63 yards. Didn't throw an interception, didn't throw a touchdown. The only guy who looked really bad in his first preseason game was Brandon Whedon. Lost to the Lions, he was 3 of 9 for 62 yards, an interception, and a fumble. But this is what Shador is going to be going out after tomorrow night. You know, guys can look pretty competent when they're playing in these early preseason games, not really playing starting caliber defenses, and can do the simple things that teams have asked them to do. You know, so of all these guys, how about Cody Kessler? 2 of 2, 15 yards.
I would have been happy if they would have just stayed with Baker and we'd be in a much different spot right now.
Well, we're not. So there's that.
You got a top 10 quarterback sitting in Tampa.
And, ooh, that's debatable.
Oh, yeah. And debate it with ESPN. They're the one that called him a top 10 quarterback.
Well, I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he is. But that's okay.
I'm not saying he's won.
He's done a real nice job.
He would have been a very good 5 to 15 quarterback.
Certainly, our team would be in much better shape.
Yes.
There's no question about that. But, you know, of these guys who have made their first preseason start, you know, keep it in perspective. Most yards, Baker, followed by DeShone Kizer. And by all accounts, DeShone was, his career was unfortunately a failure.
So you're saying what, Jeff? You're saying?
I'm saying if he goes out and lights it up, just remember, you know, DeShone Kizer lit it up in his first game.
And I'm also reminding you
Johnny Manziel was okay. DTR was pretty dang good in his first game. Just watch him, enjoy it, and keep it. And if he's really bad, keep it in perspective. If he's really good, keep it in perspective. This is not the time for big proclamations. This is a time to watch the kid play. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm rooting like crazy for him. I want him to do well. But even if he does well, it's like, okay, there's something you can work with moving forward. I just think it would be really wrong for Browns fans to put him at the top of the mountain, Andy, if he's really good. And it would completely be unfair to bury him if he doesn't play well tomorrow night.
I'm more towards the latter on that because we know the talent that's going to be on the field with him. I wonder, you know, will it be better than what he had at Colorado? I don't know.
Well,
he doesn't have Travis Hunter.
He'll be out there with a lot of starters, I would think. As many as they're going to put out there if he's starting the game. You know, I would assume you're going to see Jerome Ford. I would assume you see Dylan Sampson.
Okay.
I would think you don't see Njoku.
Was it Zinter that didn't make the trip?
Yeah, Zinter.
Yeah, Zinter didn't make the trip. Whipler did.
You know, you might need to play that offensive line a little bit. You know,
I actually think that'd be one of the best things that we could see.
I do too.
If he goes out there with a first-team offensive line, then I think you'll get a much better feel for what he's going to do than you would with second or third. I know that's common sense, but give the kid a little bit of protection, especially if Carolina's throwing out their first-team defense.
I think Jack Conklin made the comments, and he said, you got to get used to the cadence of the quarterback. You know, and with a bunch of different quarterbacks going right now, as an offensive line, you have to have, you know, that continuity. You have to be, you know, working in harmony with each other. And if you don't have that right cadence and you don't have it down, that might be difficult. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the starting offensive line for a series or two anyway tomorrow night. And I wouldn't mind that. Do you run the risk of injury? Yeah, you run the risk of injury at practice. So that's just the way football is. You run the risk of guys getting hurt. But with that in mind, truly just, I think if you can keep things in perspective, I think it'd be a really good thing. Greg's in East Cleveland. Greg, got about 40 right seconds, Greg.
Hey, Greg. Greg, you got to turn your radio down, dude. No.
There Greg, you're on hold. Put you back on hold.
That was taking
216-474-0092 is the number to join us. Gary Barnage, former Browns tight end, coming up at 1 o'clock. Preseason starting tonight in the NFL. Three games, all with storylines. Next on Baskin and Phelps. Games in the National Football League tonight. Preseason games. And, you know, just to get us all warmed up for the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, there's really nothing worse than watching early preseason football of other teams. I think it's horrendous, except for one thing.
Mm.
There are going to be a couple of things to watch tonight in these games if you want to watch some of these.
Okay, set me up.
And NFL Network's carrying two of the three games. The Indianapolis Colts are in Baltimore against the Ravens. That one's on NFL Network. I'll tune into some of that. You know why? Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones have one of the three quarterback competitions going on in the National Football League. Saints and Browns have the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Richardson is going to start for the Colts. He was their, I believe he was the fourth overall pick a couple of years ago. And he's been a major disappointment. And Daniel Jones, of course, the sixth overall pick out of Duke by the New York Giants, and they got rid of him last year, and that didn't go over well in the locker room. Then he went to finishing school in Minnesota and then signed as a free agent with the Colts, hoping to win that job. So Richardson's going to start tonight, and then Daniel Jones is taking over.
Okay.
And then next week, Daniel Jones is going to start with Richardson taking over. And my guess is after that, they'll name a starting quarterback before they go into week three. But okay. I think that'll be interesting to watch, Andy.
Richardson definitely had a disappointing season. I just kept my eye on Indy because I wanted to see what Flacco was doing last year. So
Richardson's not good, but man, is he intriguing.
He's interesting. That's the best word I'll use. Let's see what he does as far as getting towards the regular season schedule. Baltimore just needs to get their work in, get out, and stay healthy. Hate to say it, but
yeah,
two AFC North teams playing tonight.
I'd agree with that. I think Daniel Jones is he's not been a great quarterback. I still think he's one of the more underappreciated guys in the NFL. He's not as bad as New York made him out to be. And that's not saying much. I understand that. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement. But, man, because he was in New York and because the media is looking at everything, man, he was made out to not be a very good quarterback. And he's, again, he wasn't great in New York. There's no arguing that. But the guy is 6'5". He's 230. He can run the football. He's really mobile. He's got a pretty decent arm. He had some pretty good moments in New York. He had some meh moments in New York. But I don't think they gave him a whole lot to work with. And that's a game I think is worth watching, Andy. I think you should watch that one.
The game I think we talked about uniforms before. Or didn't we bring that up at the beginning of the show? Cincinnati's wearing those all whites. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen them.
The all-white helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, they wore them last year.
I don't know.
Playing in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Why would you want to watch
not a
that
bad
game?
Look.
Number one, it's the Bengals. You know, so like you'd watch the Ravens, try and pick up with a few things about the Ravens. And with the Bengals, Joe Burrow is expected to play and play a decent amount of time. So where the Browns are going to sit Joe Flacco, Joe Burrow is going to play for Cincinnati against Philadelphia. What do you think of that?
I like it. I don't know how long. I only leave him out there for a series, maybe two.
He's supposed to play maybe three.
That would be. I think the bigger thing that for us to watch is Al Golden and the defense of Cincinnati. If they play their
Al Golden,
if they play their starters on defense, that's something that we need to take notice of because one, we play them week one, and two, if their defense plays better, look out. Cincinnati could roll. They could roll
this season. You mean?
Yeah. I'll take their wide receivers any day of the week over anybody
really
else's. I'll take their quarterback. A couple contract problems here and there, but otherwise, if their defense is, even if their defense is like, I don't know, 7-15 in the league,
they're going to put up a lot of points.
I mean, they could challenge Baltimore easy.
They're going to put up a lot of points.
But the defense has to be better.
And if you're the Browns, you'll be watching because you're practicing against Philadelphia two times next week, and then you're playing them. And even though it's just, a preseason game, it's still something to look at. And that's the team that won it all last year. So what the hey? You go take a look at them. And then you have the Las Vegas Raiders going to Seattle to play the Seahawks. That's a nothing game, right?
Yeah, for me it is.
Except for one thing.
Oh, here we go.
Jeff Phelps
presents Except for One Thing.
Geno Smith returns to Seattle to play his old team, with Pete Carroll going back to Seattle to coach against his old team. So you got Geno Smith and Pete Carroll going back to Seattle.
Yay.
No, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a preseason game. If it was a regular season game, I'd be more amped for it.
I would agree, but it's still kind of cool.
Yay.
And it'll be on the NFL Network at 10 o'clock. You can watch, Andy.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm all in.
I think you should be.
I am all in. Especially
I think you should be.
Without, the Guardians playing tonight.
And then tomorrow night, the Browns and the Carolina Panthers are one of three games. So three tonight, three tomorrow. And then on Saturday, where things really get rolling. And then two games on Sunday, both on the NFL Network. So if you want to see football on Sunday, you can do that.
It's going to be a quick preseason, right? So you've got, what are they
playing? Three games on Saturday on the NFL Network.
But I'm saying the Browns have... Browns have a Friday, a Saturday, and a Saturday. Is that right? Both the next two preseason games.
Yeah, and they're both 1 o'clock.
Starts. Yeah, so and they're day games too. I kind of like that, especially high school football. I think starts that last week too. So if they're Saturday night games that first week of the season, boom, you're good. You watch the Browns during the day, off to your high school game
tomorrow night. Detroit at Atlanta, and Detroit. I think Detroit's one of the fun teams in the league to watch. I like the Lions. I love their offense. Wonder what they're going to be without their offensive coordinator.
That'll it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if that changes the dynamic on their offense at all. And then in Atlanta, you have Kirk Cousins sitting there wondering why he's there. And Michael Penix.
Hang on, that paycheck still clears, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Now I know why I'm here.
It sure does. Michael Penix is a quarterback there. And I wonder, does Cousins finish the season in Atlanta? What do you guys think?
Who's their third string quarterback? Do you know off the top of your head? I'll look it up.
No, I don't know off the top of my head. That tells you all you need to know about their third string quarterback.
Well, I mean, if you had a third string quarterback.
Easton Stick, who used to be with the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there all season.
Easton Stick. That's a great name.
That's all you need to know.
I mean, you know, a baseball bat is a stick made by Easton.
Unless things go sideways, right, and they don't really care about the rest of the season, then yes, Cousins is there for the whole year.
If someone with Kubiak-Shanahan ties runs into a quarterback injury, the first phone call is going to be for Kirk Cousins. I think you could pretty much pencil that.
I would agree with that.
That will be the first phone call.
I would love to see what the price tag would be on that.
I think it's been rumbled about that a fourth rounder might get it done.
You serious?
Or a third rounder might
Why?
Get it done.
Why? Yeah. I mean, look, they need a quarterback, and you have a quarterback, and everybody needs two quarterbacks now. I just can't look at an NFL team that doesn't have two guys that can give you the opportunity to win as wanting to win.
I think I have that correct. Yeah, because our buddy Robert Mays has been doing his camp tour. He sat down with the Falcons beat
fourth
reporter.
Rounder? That's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sat down with the Falcons beat reporter from the Athletic.
But you got to pay that contract.
Kirk Cousins isn't going to get anybody a number one pick. That wouldn't happen.
I just think he'd be overvalued. I think he'd be better than a fourth round pick.
If Penix goes down, they're toast anyway.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Well, not necessarily. Cousins might play better than Penix.
Well, no, I'm saying if Penix goes down and you've traded Cousins... Now Easton Stick is your quarterback, and now you're battling for the number one pick.
Until further notice. I mean,
and especially you look at the defense.
But why
of that
put
team
yourself
anyway?
In a position where you need another quarterback when you have them on the roster already?
Because somebody might give you a third round pick, and you think that's enough, and then you don't have to pay the contract.
Man, I look at my roster in the NFL, and if I don't have two guys that could start any given week, I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. You have to have two guys that can start.
The other game tomorrow night, Washington at New England, where.
Oh,
there was a
Mike
Vrabel got apparently put his face in the way of somebody's hand, and
he got
bloodied yesterday in a camp fight between those two teams.
Love it.
Anybody else think that there might be too much hype around Jaden Daniels?
I thought he earned it last year.
He played
great.
I just wonder, are they expecting this guy to be too much in year number two? And I think he's good. I really like him. But man, they got him considered like, you know, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and that's an awful lot on a young guy. He's really good. I really like him. But man, they're treating him like he's on his way to Canton already.
It's the big question. I mean, we all know the big four quarterbacks, right? Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes,
Allen,
Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
And the question that's floating around all of football is who's six. Or I should say, who's five? Who's that fifth guy that's sitting there? Is it Justin Herbert? Could it maybe be Jaden Daniels? Is there somebody that we're looking at? Maybe C.J. Stroud bounces back. There's somebody out there that could take that mantle. And so a lot of people are pointing to Daniels. If they don't get Scary Terry back in camp, though, good luck. I mean, they got to get Scary Terry back there in a hurry and figure that whole thing out. Though they did make the move to bring in Laremy Tunsil and shore up the offensive line a little bit for him, which will help.
I just think it's going to be...
And Debo.
I'm anxious. I don't think I've ever been so anxious to see preseason football tomorrow night with our team in particular. And then there are a couple of teams, you know, that you kind of want to pay attention to, and you're going to see them tonight. Indy, I think, is interesting. Baltimore, of course, and Cincinnati. And then, you know, what happens with Detroit this year? That's going to be a great storyline.
Where are they with the McLaurin thing in Washington?
He's still sitting out, I believe.
That's the last I saw. Good luck to that.
Hmm.
Gary Barnidge played tight end for the Carolina Panthers. Didn't do a whole lot. Came to Cleveland. Didn't do a whole lot. And then he did. Had a 1,000-yard season. Gary's been with us before. He's going to talk to us next. And he's got a good perspective on both of these teams. Gary Barnidge, former Browns tight end, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.